thought lives. We can have victory. One of the great things is that we do not have to have wrong thoughts. We do not have to dwell on wrong thoughts. So we can bring into captivity every thought, every imagination into the obedience of Jesus Christ. But that seems so far-fetched because there's so many good Christian people that struggle with their thought lives, and they think, hey, I can't have victory over this. But we're going to look at some biblical things to help us. And during this series, we're going to talk a little bit about the devil, talk a little bit about Satan, and how he tries to convince us to do what is wrong through our thought life. So, struggling with evil thoughts, is there any help? And I know that this is maybe you're perfect, maybe you never have a wrong thought, but this is what most people would say that they struggle the most with. And if people knew what was in their hearts, knew what was in their minds, it'd be scary. You're thankful that nobody else knows that but God. But at the same time, we should also make sure that we realize what God thinks and what God knows is more important than what others know. So let's think about a couple of thoughts here, and then we'll get started. If I'm saved, why am I having all these wrong thoughts? There must be something wrong with me. If I'm saved, why am I having all these wrong thoughts? There must be something wrong with me. And I showed a picture there of a man struggling with thinking about something that looks stressing, and also a lady, because this is something that both from testimonies I've read, it's not just something for men, it's also for men and ladies. So where do these wrong thoughts come from? I think one of the things in the title of this morning's message is Rethinking Temptation. Sometimes we beat ourselves up in thinking that these wrong thoughts and these evil thoughts, or maybe I'm not saved, maybe there's something wrong with me, maybe there's something I'm struggling with. But when we consider rethinking temptation, I found this quote and I thought it was good. It might not be the exact way that I would write it, but it's something that's helped me and I think can encourage you too. Temptation is an enticement to fulfill a God-given drive in a God-given way, in a God-forbidden way. This is the true basis for temptation. So how are we going to get victory over our thought life? Is when we have a good understanding of where these temptations come from. And next week, we're going to look at the source of our temptation. But rethink this. You know, many times what the devil attracts us, and it's not always. I think there is different attractions that that our sin nature will produce that God never designed for us to be like. But according to what this is saying, it's a God-given drive. I don't know if that word drive is the word I would use. That's not talking about driving a car. It's talking about it, something inside of us, something that is programmed inside of us. We have certain drives and certain things that God has designed us to do and be. We're going to look at a few of those things in a little while. But what makes it a sin and what makes it a temptation is when we have a drive, a desire, I like to use the word design, that God designed us with, and a devil comes to you and plays off of that design or that desire or that drive and tries to get you to do something outside of God's will. God's made us and programmed us all in certain ways and with certain desires and with certain drives. Think about it, the word hunger. We all have been given a body that needs to eat. And I'm thankful for those people who provided the stuff that we eat. But you think about it, sometimes God will come and he'll say, okay, you have this desire. And what did he do for Adam and Eve? He said to Adam and Eve, you can eat of any tree of the whole garden. You can fulfill that drive that you have. You can fulfill that need, that desire you have by any tree in the garden. But what does the devil do? Devil comes and he says to Eve, he beguiles Eve, he tricks Eve and says, you know, yea, have God said. And so what he does is says, look, you know what I mean? God's given you this desire. Now you need to fulfill this desire, but now go outside of what God's plan for you is. See, when you rethink temptation, many times we beat ourselves up and we say things like, man, there's something wrong with me. I keep on having these wrong thoughts. I keep on desiring to do these wrong things. But what it is, God's given us a desire, and there's nothing that he wants us to sin about, but God's given us a drive, a desire. He's designed us with certain things, but what the devil wants to do is take those desires and those designs and those drives and have you fulfill those things outside of God's will. And we're going to look at, and I don't want to give you too many examples, but just the food one, the devil took the fact that Eve was hungry, and with her hunger, desire, or drive, got her to sin. It wasn't only that, but there's other things that there. The Bible says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. So we're talking about desires. He's drawn away when he is tempted, his own desires, and entice. And that lust there is something that is to get something, to have something that is outside of what God has intended for you. It's a God-forbidden way. And there's things in there that I think we'll look at. Now, there's some different things I wrote down, a lot of different things that are there and try to help. You might say, oh, Pastor, I don't see that. But when you see that, when God created man and he gave man certain desires, he gave man certain craves, doesn't mean that they're wrong. Obviously, God's not going to create us to do something wrong. He says, after he created everything, that it was all good. You think about it. In the garden, man was in that perfect state, had not sinned, but Eve was tempted. So temptation isn't the fact that you've done something wrong. Many of us have readily accepted the notion that temptation is a result of sinfulness. Jesus was tempted, but Jesus was not sinful. Eve was tempted, and her encounter, unfortunately, she gave into it. Temptation allures us to fulfill a legitimate desire in an illegitimate way. In order to understand temptation, we need to understand what life was like and the fact that God created us, and when God created us, it was good. Look what it says in Genesis 1:27. It says, so God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Look what it says in chapter 2, verse number 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So these are thoughts there that God has created us and he's made us. Even says made in his own image, meaning the way that we are created differently than the animals. And I believe that God has given us certain appetites and certain desires, and that's where the devil plays off of those appetites and desires and designs the way that God made us in order to cause us to be tempted to do what's wrong. Here's a couple of things, and we won't go over all these in a long period of time, but these are some things I think that you could say God created us different than the animal, and God created us different because he gave us certain designs and certain drives. Dominion. If you look up in the Bible where it says in Genesis 2:15, it says, and the Lord took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in a day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt die. So there was an intention there that God gave him a plan and a purpose. Go to chapter number 1. Look what it says in verse 28. And God blessed them. Now it's the them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, over every living creature that moveth upon the earth. This idea of dominion is something that God has intended a man to occupy the highest place among the creatures of earth and exercise his or her ruling privilege over them. Prior to the fall, this was unperverted. You know, God told him that this is something you're supposed to have. It's dominion over the people, over the animal world, and over the earth. Hunger. Hunger is something I think we all have faced and something that we all understand. When God designed the human body, he gave a man a desire for food. The Garden of Eden had an abundance of delicious fruit to satisfy this need. Sexuality. I know that's not something that we talk a lot about, but the truth is when God designed us and created us, he had a relationship that was unique to humankind. It was unlike any other one because of the fact that the creature combines this desire with love. This is something that's good. This is something that is God-made. But it comes wrong when we go outside of God's intended purposes. You think about it. What God has made is beautiful inside of marriage. But so many times people have perverted and have corrupted this drive and the desire. The devil will come and try to tempt you to fulfill that desire with going and doing something wrong. With every desire the Lord gave man, he also made a way to satisfy and express it. And even a physical relationship is not evil, but it can be distorted And it can even be perverted to where it's something that's done not only outside of marriage, but also that desire. The devil tempts men to be with men to fulfill that desire. Also that sexual gratification, those type of things, even bestiality, all those different things. There is something inside of us that gives us a desire of fulfilling that, meeting that need, but the devil tempts us to do things in the wrong way. Creativity, you know, God asked Adam, told Adam to name all the different animals, and, you know, that he was creative with that. You know, we think of the world that's in today between music, art, engineering, decorating, writing. These are creative things that God has given some the talent to be creative more than others, but inside of all of us, there's a creativity there, and there's nothing wrong with that. But it's when we go outside of God's parameters, when we go outside of God's will and God's plan, we never know what's going to happen next. Beauty. Man, I believe, and women have a built-in love for the aesthetic things, is naturally attracted to beautiful things. And you see people will go and look at art, painting, architecture. What you think is beautiful might be what someone else thinks is beautiful. Worship. Worship is something that we all will worship something. And once again, we are designed to worship the one true creator. But the devil will try to get us to worship idols. He'll take something that God has made, a desire and drive in us to worship the Lord God and to fellowship with the Lord God, even in a supernatural way. You say, what do you mean supernatural? For us to be able to communicate with the Lord God is not something we can do in a human way. It's not something that we can do on our own. We need God created us. God made us this way. We will create. And this fellowship and this worship is something that God desires for us to have. He's made us needful with this in a drive. But guess what happens? The devil will come and try to fulfill that fellowship with wrong things. He'll try to take that place of worship and say, instead of worshiping the one true God, there's something we must spend our time on. There's something we must spend our focus on. And sometimes it's human things. Sometimes it's physical idols. Sometimes it's mental things. Justice. Justice. God is just. His creation has a desire for justice. God never intended for man to ignore those who mistreat him. He demands justice. But in a fallen state, man confuses justice for revenge. You know, God desires for us to do what? Do good to them that hate you. He tells us to forgive those. Man cannot be neutral when treated wrongly. This often leads to resentment and leads to bitterness. But what God has designed for this justice is to leave things in God's hands, but the devil will come and he will tempt you to try to get outside of what God desires for you to do. And desires, remember, vengeance of mine, say the Lord. And we want revenge, and we want this, and we want that, but you know, what is God's plan? Don't go outside of God's parameters. God will balance the scales one day, but in the meantime, we need to do good to those who even take advantage of us, how is justice working in our heart and life? Approval, another one. I know there are people out there that says, I don't care what anybody thinks about me. I don't care. But in all reality, shouldn't we look for the approval of God? We are all intended in some way looking for some people's approval. I think about children that, you know, when they have parents, especially at a young age, no matter how bad the parent is, the child always wants the parent to love them and approve of what they're doing. I had my son ask me yesterday, Dad, what do you think about this? And it was something that he had done. And he's 16, and actually 17 now, I'm sorry. Man, he's getting old. You know, he just had a birthday there. He's 17 now. And, you know, and I'm thinking, you know, and I was thinking about it, we all have a certain approval. A child of God should long to be approved by our Heavenly Father. But what happens is the devil knows that we have a sense of approval, and there's nothing wrong one to be approved by God, but he works on those desires, he works on those drives, and he tries to bring them in a ungodly fashion, a God-forbidden way. He tries to take things out of the parameters that God had given them and question the things that God had intended for them. He takes it and brings it over to a way that God never desired for it to be. And that's what we're going to look at a little bit. So when you think about temptation, I don't think all temptation comes from this. I think there are some things that are because of the fallen nature that causes us to be tempted. But many times with a believer, the devil will come and approach the things that God designed us and made us to be like, and will try to get us to go outside of God's design to fulfill our own fleshly lust. And it's important to understand, when we're considering temptation, there's nothing wrong with us. This is not something that I've done wrong to have these wrong thoughts. It's the devil is tempting us, trying to take something that is a God-given desire, a God-given drive, and make it happen in a God-forbidden way. So let's look at a couple of these things, and let's look at some illustrations here in Genesis chapter number 3. We're going to look at Eve's temptation, and then we're going to look at Jesus' temptation for a little while. So why are you looking at those? Because this happened before sin ever entered into the world. Sometimes what a believer will do is they will, man, sometimes people's hearts and minds are torn and ripped apart because of the wicked thoughts that they're having. And they beat themselves up saying, and no, we should not have those wicked thoughts. We do not have to dwell on those wicked thoughts, but we need to understand where those thoughts are coming from. Many times the devil will come and try to attract something that God intended for us to have, but make it in a God-forbidden way. Like we talked about physical relationships. That was God's plan and God's intention to replenish the earth for those that were going to be married. But outside of marriage, he has taken that desire, that drive, and he made it into something that was wicked, because he said, look, you can fulfill this the exact same way. Let's look here in this story in the Genesis chapter number 3. You'll see here, Genesis chapter number 3, verse number 1. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. So he comes up and he speaks to Eve, and he questions God's character. He says to him, he's like, yea, have God said. Did God really do this? Now, God gave you a hunger drive. You're hungry. You need to eat. But now he's telling you, you can't have something. So he's getting her to question the character of God. Let's keep on going in verse number 2. Eve responds, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch, lest ye die. Verse number 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. So he accuses God of being a liar. And once again, this is something that the devil's coming, and he's presenting this as a temptation. And I'm trying to get you to understand, in our lives, there are things that we have wrong thoughts with and evil thoughts with, and the devil is going to try to get you to question God. Is this what God intended? Is this what God wanted? Then the temptation comes in. Look what it says in verse number 5. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be, open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So here it is, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So there was a desire that was there for knowledge. There's a desire for knowing. There's even a desire for the supernatural. And those are things that God has put inside of us, that supernatural relationship we have of God, ever growing in our knowledge, and he attracts it. And let's keep on going. And when the woman saw, you have the aesthetic side of things, that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So in the story here, you have Eve that is innocent when it comes to evil. It was God's desire that Eve would never know evil. But Satan enticed her with the prospect of becoming a god. Hunger accompanied Eve this day. The devil took advantage of that. The next enticement was the beautiful aesthetic drive. It was pleasant to look upon. Then Satan told Eve the tree was desired to make one wise, which stimulates her knowledge. Eve committed no sin up to this point. She was merely enticed to fulfill a God-given drive in a God-forbidden way. She should have said no to the devil's alluring things. Unhappily, she yielded to this enticement and disobeyed God. Sin and transgression in God's law, utilizing the capabilities that God had given her to look, the God-given desire for hunger, the God-given desire for knowledge, he took those things, and she did it in a illegitimate way. God says, I don't want you to use those things that we've given you, the ability to see and beauty, those ability for hunger, those abilities for knowledge. He says, now you've taken those things and you've done it in a unforbidden way, a God-forbidden way. And you say, okay, what about Jesus? Now let's look at the next one. In Matthew chapter number 4, if you want to take your Bibles there. Matthew chapter number 4. Matthew chapter number 4, the devil goes and he tempts Christ. It's interesting that once again, it's food. Food is something that tempts people. And this is a food. This is another temptation. He's there for 40 days. He has not eaten for 40 days. And the devil comes to him in Matthew chapter 4, verse number 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit. And it's amazing that he was led up of the Spirit. You know, you mean that God took him to a spot where he was going to be tempted? Yes. Are we going to be taken to spots doing what God desires to do and the devil's going to tempt us, come around and tempt us? Of course. When you're doing what God wants you to do, when you're being led by the Holy Spirit, guess what's going to happen? The devil's going to tempt you. Then Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God. So you see the first thing he does, he questions. He questions the legitimacy of the claim of Christ. He questions, you know, if thou be the Son of God, he says, command these stones to be made bread. Now, was Jesus hungry? I don't know about you. I couldn't go 40 days without eating. I might be able to go 40 minutes, but 40 days would be a little. Of course he was hungry. But here's the thing is, he had a need that was there, and the devil comes and says, look, all I want you to do is satisfy your need. But he would have been using his power and his glory. Remember, if thou be the Son of God, he's challenging him and saying, it's sort of like when he comes to us and says, if God wants you to have these things, then why don't you satisfy your need over here? He is taking the power that God had given him and the ability that God had given him and asking him to do something in a wrong way. He's saying to him, hey, why don't you prove to me that God really wants you to have this? Why don't you go outside of God's parameters and get this for yourself? And so often that's what happens today when we think God wants what's best and we think God wants to give us more than we ever think or ask for, and we think and supply all our needs, and the devil comes up to you and says, didn't God say he didn't want you to go hungry? And then the devil begins to try to convince you outside of God's parameters to go and do things that it's going to fulfill the need that God has given you and the desire that God's given you, but it's going to be an ungodly way. And of course, what does Jesus do? He says to him, he said in verse number 4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Verse number 5. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God. He's challenging him again. He knows who he is. And he's challenging it. If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. It's interesting here. Satan plays on his legitimate power and his ability. He chose Jesus, but he had the ability to make it to where he didn't fall, obviously. Could Jesus do anything? He could. But that wasn't the power that God didn't give him. He didn't have that power to go showing off. But there was something that was within his power and something within his ability. And the devil was coming and tempting him and saying, hey, why don't you do this? Why can't you do this? You know, the hunger part was he was something that it was made for bread. But this divine nature, the divine nature that Jesus had, he had the ability and power to do all these things. And the devil was tempting him saying, hey, look, if you can do this, let's take what you know that you're made to do. I know he wasn't created because it was Jesus. But even inside your flesh, this is something you're capable of. Let's show it to everybody else. He's challenging him. And you go to the next one, his desire to reign. Let's keep on going. Verse number 7, Jesus said unto him, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of men, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And then say of Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Satan here plays on his legitimate desire or his God-given right to reign. At this point in time, Jesus is going to reign and rule someday in the future. The devil is coming to him, and the devil is saying to him, he says, all these things will I give thee if thou fall down and worship me. The real goal of the devil was to divert himself, divert the worship that was only due God and give it to himself. Satan commonly tempts us to use the wrong means at the wrong time to achieve a legitimate goal. Satan oftentimes will tempt us to do the wrong things at the wrong time to achieve a legitimate goal. The devil was saying, I'll give you all these things. I'll let everyone worship you if you'll do things my way. And it wasn't the time for Jesus to rule and reign. He had come to seek and to save that which was lost. He had come to die for the sins of mankind. But the devil's coming and saying, look, I know someday you're going to reign. So because you're going to reign someday, why don't you just worship me today? And then I'll make sure that all these worlds and all these kingdoms, remember he's the prince and power of the air, that they bow down and worship you. Here what you're getting ready to face is trial and temptation. You're going to be mocked. You're going to be laughed at. You're going to be spit upon. They're going to rip your beard out. None of that has to happen. If you'll just do things my way, I will cause you to get to that end that justifies the means. But it doesn't. That's what the devil will come and do. He'll come to you at a time of weakness, that you're hungry, and says, hey, look, why don't you fulfill those needs? I have a plan and purpose for you. He'll come to you with this thought of, like, you have the right, you have the power. Now, obviously, we don't have a divine nature in the fact like Jesus did, but we have the power within our strength sometimes to forgive. We have the power within our ability sometimes to be kind and gracious. And the devil says, no, they need to, you have the right here. And he says, no, I want you to do things my way. We're tempted. The desire to reign, you know, that's something that the devil's saying to Jesus, I'll give to you. Satan only commonly tempts us to use the wrong means at the wrong time to achieve a legitimate goal. How many times have we thought it would just be so much easier for us to, as long as we get this accomplished, does it really matter what happens from here to there? And the truth is, it does. The devil is what tempts us to go outside of God's parameters. And when we do things our own way, guess who gets the glory? I do. The devil does. But when we stay inside God's parameters and God makes these things happen, even though the devil's going to come and tempt us, well, why don't you just do it this way? It'd be much easier. Or why don't you, remember, all that matters is at the end. It doesn't. God wants you to stay inside these parameters and within the God-given abilities he's given you and the desires he's given you, and he wants it to be done in a way that will bring honor and glory to himself. I'm talking about God. So let's think for a little while, and hopefully this isn't confusing you. I know when I was writing, and I was like, I want to make sure it's something that can work, and that will. But think about the effects of our desires. Many people today are at war within themselves. I mean, it is a legitimate thing when people have thoughts, anxiousness is something that tears people up inside. They're thinking, and it is the devil that comes and tries to ruin our thought lives with temptations of doing things that God intended us to do his way, but he's taking and he's feeding off of those things in order to get his desires done in your life. Their desires pull them apart because sin has warped the appetites of man. And sexual desires. And I know we're all adults and we're in mixed company. You know, I feel uncomfortable even saying those words, but because I'm one of the younger people in the room. But the thought is, that's one of the most obvious things. You know, God has made us, and God made man and man made woman together to have a relationship inside of marriage. It's a beautiful thing when it's done God's way. But what has the devil done? He has played on those desires and made those into lust. And as he makes those lusts, we see how wicked and how horrible that God intended it to be beautiful. God intended it to be perfect. And what has the devil done with that? He has caused the things that was good, because God declared all that he made was good. And he has caused the gratification, untold heartache to many people. God had a valid way of satisfying this desire inside of marriage. But that drive has caused people to do things that are vile, things that are unnatural, and things that are just plain not only wicked, but wrong. This area is, you know, you can talk about this for a long time, but it's something that some people have come to the point and says, well, sex or physical relationships are just evil. It's not. It's what the devil has come and done to cause that to happen inside of what God, if it stays inside God's parameters, then it's a beautiful thing. But when it comes outside of God's parameters, it's a horrible thing. Let's think about, we'll go something a little bit easier. Hunger drive. We're all hungry, you know, but the Bible talks about, you know, there's certain things and certain ways we should eat. There, what has that hunger drive made? Some of those things we see eating disorders. And today they've taken what God put in there and made an eating disorder as an epidemic. Some people are starving themselves, while other people are gorging themselves. You know, I know a lot of people don't like that word glutton or gluttony, but gluttony is a sin. And we need to understand this, that inside God's parameters, he's created us with a desire and a need to eat. But it shows us an example that some people have taken those desires and they made it an eating disorder and they make themselves sick. And then there's others who gorge themselves to the point where they make themselves obese and wrong. And I know, Pat, you're looking at me and saying, Pastor, you're overweight. I know I'm a little bit overweight, and I know that's something I work on, something I need to realize where that temptation comes from. You know, the devil is the one that comes to me and tempts me not to worry about what God's design is. And God designs us to be healthy. Why is that? There should be that desire there because we want to be productive for his will and for his service. And we need to learn sometimes not just to have willpower and push back. Instead, we recognize where these sources of temptation to come. And if it's something that we struggle with, eating too much, that is not just a physical thing, but it's also something that I believe the devil tempts people to stay underneath that control, that they have no control over it. The drive to succeed. Now, and inside many of us, if not all of us, there's a drive to succeed. It can be easily distorted. God wants us to have a healthy desire to achieve in life, but he does not want us to dominate others. He does not want us to trample others in the process. Today, success is equated with money, fame, power, but true success is becoming what God wants us to be. It's like that approval thing is, okay, we want God to approve of us, and we want God, but when we take out God's parameters and we start worrying about everybody else, we forget about what God wants. We truly forget what success truly is. God says success is to find his will and to do it. The world and the devil will tell you success is money, cars, fame, all these other things. So if we have a desire to succeed, and that desire should be to please the Lord, but when the devil tempts us and say, a really truly successful person would have this, and a really truly successful person would be noticed by this and by these people, you would have your family's approval, you would have the world's approval, that's what true success is. We step out of the parameters that God has given us, and we begin to look at what we want. I think about the God-given responsibility in the home. And there's two different things. You know, we have the husband that is supposed to be the head of the house, right? That's what the Bible says. Now, inside of that, there are some men who take that to an ungodly level by the way that they try to rule and reign as a king over their house. And then inside the other one, there's some men who take the outside of God's parameters and is weak and does nothing inside his house to try to lead. But what happens is that God gives us a desire, and I told you before, I believe men are made with that leadership or that desire to want to do what is to lead. But that sin affects the drive sometimes to walk over people, and then other times is so weak that where they should be strong, they should be vibrant, but the drive to rule or have dominion should be something that God is placed inside of us, inside of all of us, but inside of a home is something that he wants us to lead. And most people today can't get the control of their own lives. They cannot get control of their own drives. So because of that, either they compensate by going outside of God's parameters and being something they should not be in some type of lord and tyrant, or being something that they should not be in, being someone who is walked over. And the same thing is not just for husbands, it's also for the wives. There's a God-given responsibility that they should be subject unto their husbands, that their desire is going to be to their husband. What does that mean? Two different thoughts there. One, that, you know, the way that a lady is made, that's something that she's there to be a helpmate. They should help one another. But at the same time, sometimes ladies will take that to a point that they come over and they try to rule over their husbands. And they stepped outside of God's parameters. And at other times, they come to the point where not only they are submissive, but to the point that they'll let their husband to do things that are unscriptural, unspiritual, and allow those things to walk over. There is getting control of the desires and drives that's given us. There are certain things inside of God's parameters that we need to stay inside. The devil is the one that might tempt someone to be super strong and tempt someone else to be super weak, but neither one has been what God desired for them to do. So what's going on with our drives? Other drives can be short-circuited when man sins. The natural desire to worship the one true God is often misdirected after the fall. Today, people are worshiping the sun, the stone idols, nature, sometimes even themselves. Modern man's desire for creativity has been lost. That drive to worship is something that we must understand. What we're supposed to worship, what's supposed to have first place in our life, what is what we're supposed to love with all our heart. But you know, we have that desire to put something first. The devil tries to track that by putting things such as your family, your work, this, all those different things to try to get you to see how sin affects your desires. Now, it's easier for us to see that when it comes to sexual things. When you see homosexuality, that's just wicked and that's wrong. Even when we go to hunger, it's not that we don't want to admit it as much, but in all reality, God did give us that hunger thing, and some people abuse that. And then you think about the drive to succeed or that responsibility in your family. God made me a man. God made me want to lead, but then we take advantage of that or we don't own up to it. And then we see the desire, drive to worship. I believe these are all things that God has created within us. He's designed us this way. He, even in the garden, in that perfect state. But what's the difference? And one preacher put it this way, and I thought it was kind of neat. Man's drives are like piano strings. When a piano gets out of tune, a tuner adjusts the strings. Some strings need to be loosened, others need to be tightened. A tuner works until each string plays on pitch. God has given the Holy Spirit to moderate our desires or our drives. Some drives need to be toned down. Others need to be revitalized. So what we need to understand is when temptation comes our way, there are things that we have to make sure that if we're struggling in, that maybe we need to change. There may be some things that need to be loosened up and maybe some things that need to be tightened. And the Holy Spirit of God is the one who leads us and guides us. The Lord does not remove these drives. Instead, he tunes them. Remember in the Garden of Eden, man's drives were like a symphony. They were together. They were of cohesion. They were not of conflict. And sometimes tune-ups can be painful, but when things are done right, then your life can be beautiful. Just as the instruments need a periodic adjustment, so man needs regular maintenance. And my encouragement today is that we would look inside our heart and ask the Lord and ask the Holy Spirit of God to examine our heart and listen to what he wants us to change. Not to say, well, I'm overweight or I'm obese because of the fact that God gave me a hunger desire. No, the person who is that has an eating disorder has the same desire. It's just, how do we take that desire? The relationship or the physical relationships, how do we deal with those desires? The way that God has intended us and made us, how do we deal with those drives of where our role should be at inside our home? Are we stepping outside of our parameters? Remember, temptation presents an opportunity to do God's desire for our life in a God-provided way. God's designs in a God-provided way. I think we need to learn how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit of God and let him moderate our drives. To moderate the things that maybe we need to work on. Some of us may need to work on how we struggle when it comes to. We need to work on our home place. Sometimes we need to work on what we're worshiping. Sometimes it's that drive to succeed or that drive to be approved by someone. All those different things that God has designed and made a human being up with these tendencies does not make us wrong. is when we step out of God's parameters and go over to what the Satan's desires and temptations are in a God-forbidden way is what makes it wrong. Now, the last point, if everything hasn't confused you yet, this last point will probably confuse or make you sit back and think, wow. So the Bible says that we should be thankful when we're tempted. Look what it says. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall in diverse temptations. This means different types of temptations. What tempts you might not tempt me. What tempts me might not tempt you. And so inside the God-given design and inside the God-given desires and drives, when the devil tempts us to step out of God's will for our lives, then guess what? The Bible says that we should count it all joy. See, temptation presents an opportunity for growth in Christ-likeness and patience. Look what it says in James 1:3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So when our faith is tried, when we are challenged or tempted by the devil to step out of God's will and step out of God's design to fulfill those desires that we feel like we have in an ungodly and God-forbidden way, what that will do, it will begin to build patience in your life. Through temptation, God makes us aware of the changes that we need. When we are tempted to do wrong, it's something we should look at and say, you know what? The Bible says I should be joyful. The Bible says that I should be thankful because I'm being tempted and I'm getting an opportunity to see the areas of my life that I need to make changes on. And when I'm tempted, does not mean like Eve, I have to say yes, but instead I can claim the blood of Jesus Christ and I can have victory over that. And I do not have to step out of God's plan for my life to satisfy those needs that I have, those desires I have. God has made it in a way for me to fulfill every desire and every need inside of his parameters. And the devil will come to you and say, hey, wouldn't this be great? Or wouldn't this feel wonderful? Or why don't we accomplish it this way? Sometimes he takes something that's legitimate, like Christ reigning, and says, if we do these things our way, we're going to accomplish the exact same thing. But Christ knew better than that. But do we know better than that? When we turn around, we look at our kids and say, well, what I desire is over here is have a good kid. Well, the world will tell you that if you do this and you do that, and if you just give them a little bit more room and don't expect them to obey and don't let them be themselves and all these other things, don't push them to go to church, you know, they're going to turn out to be a good kid. That's not right, because you're stepping out of God's desire and God's design for you, and we're trying to fulfill what God wants and put inside of us in a God-forbidden way. And so when we come to this part, when we fall into divers temptations, let's remember this. It is not sin when we're tempted. It's when we act upon that sin. You know, when the devil comes to you, Eve did not sin until she took part of eating that fruit. She listened to the questioning that God, the devil was saying, yea, have God said, ye shall not surely die. And then he brings a temptation that you shall be wise and all those other things, and causes those things to happen to the point that to get Eve to go outside of what God planned for her to do. So the whole point of the series is, and I know this first lesson might have been a little, hopefully it wasn't too confusing, but I want you to rethink where your temptations come from. It comes from the devil. There is people getting torn up inside because of their thought lives. Why am I thinking like this? Why am I acting like this? Why do I have this desire to do these things? And the truth is, we have God-given desires that the devil comes and tempts us and tries to persuade us to fulfill the desires that God has made us with, to do it in a God-forbidden way. So the end does not justify the means. And sometimes people are getting torn up in their lives because temptation is something that they've listened to the devil and believe that they have to do. And we're going to learn as the weeks go along, there is help for your thought life. There is something that you can do to help against these evil thoughts. There is something that you can have victory over and victory with. But you first need to rethink the temptation. God made me a certain way. Now the devil is going to try to tempt us to go outside of God's parameters to fulfill the way God made me. But God's the one that created it. He made it all good. And just like in the garden, I think many of these different things are things that Adam and Eve had also. but at the same time, they stepped out of God's parameters, and there was a great effect on their sins, and because of that, they're torn up. Many people today are at war within themselves. Their desires pull them apart because sin has warped the appetites of man, and we've warped the appetites because of the fact we have stepped out of God's plan and instead listened to the enticing words of the devil. Prior to the fall, man's drive were in cohesion. They were not in conflict. The adverse effect of sin is seen in the distortion of men's and women's desires and drives. Those desires and drives should be strong. Those that which are strong may need to be weak, and those that are weak may need to be strong. Many times our life needs to be refined and restrained in a way that would be pleasing to God. Sin will always destroy, sin will always distort, sin will always make it look like you should take what God plans for your life, but do it in a wrong way. Rethink temptation. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that the thoughts this morning, the message this morning, fell on good ground. I pray that, first of all, that believers understand and realize that we've been created a certain way, and the devil wants to wreck and ruin our lives, and that inside this way that you have designed us, we have certain natural tendencies and desires, and upon that, God, the devil approaches us. The devil tries to make us think that certain things are okay, and Lord, I pray that we understand that, yes, there are certain things that God's given us as a design, but there's wrong ways to fulfill that design. Wrong ways to fulfill that desire. Wrong ways to fulfill that drive. And Lord, help us understand that thought life is something that many, if not all, Christians deal with. And many people are torn apart inside because they do not know what to do with their thought life. God, help us to see we can have victory. Help us to see who the one is that is trying to destroy our thought life and tempt us. Help us to recognize who the enemy is. And then help us learn how to fight. Not fight in a way that is not going to be successful, but to fight in a way that is scriptural and fight in a way that is mighty through God. In Jesus' name, amen.